Good morning. This morning I'd like to bring to you a message that will glorify God, encourage everyone, our pastor and his family, our church, unify our church under Christ with instruction of what would Jesus want us to do and how he'd want us to do it. The scripture this morning is from the King James Version of the Bible. And I entitled this message, Jesus Only. It's a compilation of three or four messages. You've probably heard bits and pieces of these before. And again, it's a reformation or affirmation of basically of Jesus' work and his ministry and what he'd have us do. So it's starting out with Matthew 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from hence. He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain, and he sat there. Jesus liked to get alone with God. He liked to pour out his heart and pray. He was getting charged up for the day, ready to meet all that the day would hold. We should all be there where Jesus walked, in his footsteps. Many times his footsteps would lead up the mountain to get down and to seek God. If you followed in Jesus' footsteps, they would lead you out into the wilderness, where he was led by the Spirit to be tested and tried. Satan vigorously tried to tempt him to bring him down by causing him to sin. But Jesus came from that wilderness experience in the power of the Spirit, and his fame spread forth. He was faithful and stood the test. So if we want to walk in his footsteps, where he walked on the earth, think of where those footsteps would lead us. There was a great outpouring. Matthew 18 and 30 says, "The great multitudes came unto him, having with them those who were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered. And when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, they glorified God of Israel." I'm going to repeat that. They glorified the God of Israel. That time, the outpouring and the power of God, the miracles and all the great things, that's what this text is about. Here we see how the anointed, Jesus, was with the Spirit. He was one with the Spirit doing his Father's work. The fact that he did these miracles and healings only served to encourage us when we need him to do something for us today. We believe that he did this for others, and we believe he will do this for us. Jesus did not show any partiality in helping those who came to him in faith. He will minister to us. He will minister to our needs. He will bless us when we place our faith in him. Yes, yes, he will. He will do it for us. Now let's look again at Matthew 18, the verse I just read, and notice something. It says that great multitudes came to him, not a great multitude, not some multitudes, but many great multitudes came to him. So we have "great" here used twice, that it was a great multitude, and this happened a great number of times. All of those who came had something in common. They brought those in need of his miraculous touch. He turned none away. There is no record of him not healing anyone. This is a time of great healing, a time of miracles, a time of great deliverance. Following into the footsteps then would have led you to a first hand to the mighty works of Jesus. We'd all like to see that time when Jesus' power was present, where he was stretching his hand forth and became glorified. We see that they cast these needy down to Jesus' feet, and he healed them. There's no mention that he turned any away, because it's beyond Jesus to be able to do that. Look at just like it is, he healed them. That says to me that he healed all of them. No exceptions are mentioned. Let our faith come alive in Jesus. The might and power of his manifestation in Jesus, no matter where or when he threw the crowds, came with their sick and afflicted, he healed them. Luke 4:17-21 says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the rabbi, and he sat down. And all eyes were upon him in the synagogue. They were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears.'" This speaks of the anointing that was upon Jesus. The anointing spanned across the mass of humanity and the depths of the problems that so many had. Jesus did not come to save a few. He did not come to save a many. He came to save them all, everyone, everyone that was born, will be born. Jesus came and he saved them all that would believe in him. The powerful ministry was a manifestation again and again and again during this time on earth. The multitudes had something to place their confidence in. Greater times were all ahead, and they still are. Matthew 18:30 says, "And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel." Isn't it encouraging in our heart to see this? Read the great works of God. See his intent to help them, to minister to them. Faith can be revealed in the way that Jesus ministered to us and our need. It is often takes a little persistence, standing in faith, and waiting. Now, there are things here that Jesus would want us to take note of, because you should take note of them. Wonder just as they did back then. Healing right before their eyes that day. They saw such great manifestations of the power of Jesus there. And they did it the right thing when they witnessed the power of God at work. They glorified God. We must understand that healing helps people, helps the church, helps the individual involved. All of it is for the glory of God. They just didn't turn and go home. They took time to glorify God for what they had seen and experienced. Now, those that were healed glorified God. But what about those who just saw what Jesus did here? It was the others who had received the benefits. Just as we see the power of God manifested before our eyes, cause us to lift our voices and we glorify God. This anointing is available to all believers. John 14:12 tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I looked at this verse and came to the conclusion that Jesus today, sitting at the right hand of God, could work much greater miracles than he could back when he lived on earth. We're talking about spiritual gifts being given to the believers. Where Jesus can work in and through us here and now, We need these gifts. Our church needs them, where they ought to be manifested on a regular basis. The anointing of the Holy Spirit should affect every believer's life. John 3 and 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must stop and realize that the Lord has not changed a bit, that he is the same, was the same, and will be the same. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He will never change his love for us. He hasn't changed. That means he will still do what he did back in the days of the Gospels. He still heals, he still saves, and he still sanctifies. He knows you, and he knows just what we need. If you can hold your faith in him, he is all you need. That Jesus walked the shores of Galilee has not changed. His care for those who followed him has not changed. His word will not come back void to him. His word is protected. When we realize that his word was written down in heaven before the earth was formed, before the base of the earth was formed, this word was written down. It doesn't matter whether our society changes. It doesn't matter what people say nowadays. It does not matter. That word was written down then, and it will always be there. Jesus healed us with his stripes and will continue to do so. Do you think that God nowadays is any less loving than he was 2,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago or since the beginning of time? We have a hard problem with thinking that God has always been there and always will be there because we're finite beings. We go basically and we live from minute to minute. God lives forever and ever, and he sees us ever and ever. And that's one of the reasons why he is able to do this for us. In Matthew, they were following him in literal sense, hoping they would see miracles take place. They weren't following him spiritually yet, but they did believe he was Christ Jesus, the living God. Jesus really is the answer. We can look to him to heal. Suppose someone went in that crowd that day and told them, look, there is no use to come to Jesus. You won't find any help from him. What do you think the people would say to them that day? Open your eyes. Look what he's done for these people. Look how he's healed them. Multitudes upon multitudes of people that he has healed. And he's healed them all. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 and 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. These words were written in heaven. That can't be changed, it's eternal. He is the Lord, and always will be the Lord. And as the Lord, he has always been fulfilled with love, and will always be filled with love. When we see God, will he have changed? When we pass on and go up to heaven, do you think there will be God walking around with a cane, a little old man, gray-haired man? No. Will be the same then as he was in the beginning, as he was in the end. Loving, caring, forgiving God. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's still Lord. Always will be Lord. I say that because I want you to understand the fact that the Lord will never change. His power is the same. His attitude toward healing and deliverance is the same. We read of the great miracles he worked in the Bible times and worked these miracles for one reason, his glory. Yes, it is to help those in need, but for the sole purpose, it was always for his glory. He has always been willing to use his power to meet needs and will continue to do so. There were always manifestations of God's power through the Old Testament. Certain people throughout the scriptures were endued with the power. We look at Elijah. There was a man anointed of God, used of God. He was a great blessing to the people, a miracle worker. We can see the same in the life of Elijah, anointed of God. How much of this was carried into the early church? Was there anything added? Was there anything taken away? Was there anything changed? John 14, 16, and 17 tells us that I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What has changed here? What has happened between dwelling with you and the Spirit dwelling in you? In John 9, 24 and 25, then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know, whereas I was blind, and now I see. This man knew something about himself and about his life. He wasn't ignorant of the state he was in. He knew that he was the first blind man in history to regain his sight. When Jesus came, one thing that would be evident in his ministry was the opening of blind eyes, as well as the unstopping of deaf ears, the loosing of dumb tongues. This was a great part of God's ministry. We think of the miracles in the Old Testament compared to those in the New Testament who worked miracles like Jesus. No one. Elijah worked great miracles, no doubt, but Jesus worked miracles every day, the sort of miracles that we don't see done in the Old Testament. When we read of God's promises of healing, we realize that these aren't the words of man, but were written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This was before the foundation of the earth. Now, sickness can come along in our lifetime. A healthy person can suddenly find themselves sick. And sometimes it may be months and even years before health is restored. We need to seek the Lord to restore our health. We need faith. Think about miracles and healing. Know that it's yours. God provided for it at Calvary when Jesus bore those stripes. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Even the day was come, they brought him into many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed them all were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness by those stripes, yet were healed. The gift of healing and miracles has been placed in the church for our benefit, and we have access by faith to these gifts. Let's focus on claiming the promise, on claiming the blessing in faith. God gave to every man the measure of faith, so it's not that we don't have faith, it's now that we use it. Take hold of the promises with your faith and believe God. Don't tolerate any thoughts other than that. God promises these are ours, but they are given to us on the plane of faith. By faith we can take and embrace what God has promised. Ephesians 6 and 10 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Philippians 4 and 13. We cannot accomplish much worthwhile without the help of the Lord. Without him, we can do nothing. John 15 and 5. Without him, there is no hope. We are helpless apart from him. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, but it is only through him. Be strong in God's word. Be strong in his word. When you are, there is nothing can shake us. Nothing can lead you astray. 2 Samuel 22 and 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. God is my strength, and God is my power. Psalms 29 and 11. And the Lord will give us strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's what David said, and that's what we can say, knowing that the word of God is our means of resisting the opposition. If you notice, I don't give the opposition much time. I was trained under Jewish people from Tel Aviv, and they taught me that. Concentrate on what you're doing. Concentrate on the way that we're worshiping God, and don't care about what other things are happening around us. Concentrate on our relationship with God. Concentrate on our prayers. Concentrate on our salvation. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise him. We need to cling to scriptures like this. We need to do more, to know them more, to memorize them. We also need to put them into practice. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with him, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, that was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even after death of the cross. Jesus is in heaven, high and lifted up. He shares great majesty and glory with his Father, and he had this even before the foundation of the world. Yet Jesus came down here to earth that he might become a human being, such as you and I, though he was eternal God, Son of God. His eternal spirit came down to be clothed in flesh. He humbled himself as a servant in complete obedience to his Father, even unto death of the cross. When we are born again in the Spirit of God, we become the children of God. As such, we must remember we are not greater than our master. We must follow the same pathway of humility, leaving no room to strife to make ourselves of any reputation. As servants, we must be willing to die out of self and yield completely to the will of God. We are conduits for God, God's power we need to be effective in this world. The mind of Christ is humbled. If we would allow this humble mind to be in us, God would be able to use us in a much greater way, because he works through humble vessels. God is looking for those who will humble themselves under his mighty hand. He is looking for those who realize they are less than nothing in themselves. They know that the only way that they can accomplish anything worthwhile for God is for him to work in and through him. With confidence we have, what confidence can we have in the flesh? People might label us as being a good person, but good in whose eyes? In the eyes of others? Jesus said, there is no one good but God. Jesus said he could do nothing of himself but of the Father. And he said he didn't seek to do his own will, but of his Father's. That's from John 5 and 30. He is in complete subjection to his Father. 1 Peter and 4 said, if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Peter was referring to the call of God upon one life and the anointing that goes with that call. And everyone has a call of God's life. Some of us are following it, some of us not so much sometimes. But everyone has a call to God's life. What we accomplish, the possibility is for Him. So we can see it's not a matter of having confidence in the flesh, but rather having confidence in our God. God's ability is made manifest in and through us as we humble ourselves before Him. The sufficiency is not in us. When we realize our complete dependence upon the Lord, we are in the place where our life can be used for His honor and glory. We need to have the mind that this was in Jesus. If we intend to go all the way and totally dedicated, totally sold out to our Lord and Savior. Look to God. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Pray for God to strengthen you. Declare, "God, here's a promise you made of strengthening me. I'm going to stand on it in faith and believing." Do we believe that God fulfills His word? Do we believe His promises are true? That they are ours? His promises are there, but it's what we do with them. It's our manifesting faith and holding on to the promise. It's anchoring right here, knowing that God will keep His word. Numbers 23 and 19 said, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. He said, and He shall not do it, or He spoke that He shall make it good." I know God keeps His word, and I'm looking for a sure answer. I know where to find it in the scriptures. For I know God will do what He said, and He will do what He promised. Now I realize that sometimes we might try to claim things that something that doesn't really pertain to our needs. 1 John 5 and 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Let's pray for the presence and the power of God to come and be manifest to minister to His people's needs. Again, I end up at Matthew 15 and 29. "And Jesus departed from hence, and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat there. Jesus went there before coming back, and before performing all these miracles that we have read about. In His life, it was necessary to pray, to step aside, and to seek His Father. In His life, He showed a pattern of prayer. He didn't do these things on His own. He did what His Father told Him to do. He did what He saw His Father do. I think we need to follow what He tells us to do. That would make a great difference in our life and our ministry and the life of others. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." John 14 and 12.